So this morning's reading is taken from Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. If you're following me...
It's not that one.
I promise you it's definitely from Luke. For this evening, chapter 5, 1 to 11. So if you're following me in Church Bibles, page 1032. So one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you'll fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Matt. I'm going to invite Chris to come up. Hi, Chris. Okay, why don't we pray for Chris this morning? Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it brings life. And you say it's like a double-edged sword. It cuts right to the heart. And Lord, this morning we invite you to cut to the heart, to our hearts, with your word. And we pray for Chris. We thank you for what you've been speaking to him about, to bring this morning the word that you want your people to hear. Lord, we pray that he would have the words to say, that you would anoint him, that Holy Spirit, we would just be in the place to receive your word and your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. It's great to see you this morning. Lovely to be in church with you. And if we've never met before, as Natalie said, I'm Chris, and I'm a part of the team here at Christchurch, part of the staff team. I've been here for just over 7 years now, and wow, indeed, it feels, I was going to say it feels longer. I don't know if it feels longer or shorter. It feels great. It's been just over 7 years. I'm married to Helena, who's just sat over there. She was the brains and the kind of everything behind the Christmas market yesterday and did just an amazing job just to honor Helena and what her team. Yeah. Yeah. Really amazing. And if you're here and you've been here a few weeks, or if you're just here visiting or here for the first time, then you may or may not realize that we're in a series looking through Luke's gospel. And we've been doing that for a little while now. And today we reach chapter 5, and I'm going to speak out the first few verses this morning of chapter 5 to you. But before we go any further, I'd love just you to turn to someone around you and answer this question. Can you remember a time where you felt out of your depth? Can you remember a time where you felt out of your depth? Why don't you just gather with the people around you, just maybe share what that was like, what it felt like, maybe the situation if you can. You've got 2 minutes to do that, then I'll come back. All right, let me bring you back just for a while longer. Let me for a moment take you back to roughly 6 p.m. on the 10th of December 2011, which is nearly 8 years ago, very nearly 8 years ago, in fact. It was the day that our first child, Jessica, was born. A day that was amazing in so many ways, and a day where, for sure, I felt out of my depth in many, many, many ways. But there was this one particular moment where I felt most out of my depth. So Helena has obviously given birth to Jessica. Said child, weighing 6 pounds, 12 ounces, is been fed. We've done the wonderful and glorious and slightly strange skin-to-skin cuddling thing, which you might not be aware that they do now, but they do. It means that you get to, as a dad, take off your top and cuddle your baby skin-to-skin. It's supposed to help bonding. It's wonderful and slightly strange in a room full of people, but really, really lovely as well. Jessica has been fed. She's been weighed. She's been checked. All the stuff has happened. And Helena is now just in the shower in the next door room, and the midwives are still in the room, and everything is going great until they leave me on my own in the room with my new baby. Because until that point, the room's been full of people. We've had a few different midwives in and out. Obviously, Helena's been there. I've been there. The room's been full of people, and suddenly it clears out. And the midwives lay my beautiful child on the bed in nothing but a nappy, and they turn to me and smile, and they say, "Now you need to get her dressed." And they walk out of the room. "Now you need to get her dressed." Now, let me tell you. This onesie here was one of the first onesies that Jessica would have been put into. We had another one picked out when we were pregnant, like a really cute one that we thought would be really, really cool, but it was obviously way too big because we knew nothing about babies. And she was much smaller. And so we had to go to all the kind of secondhand cast-off bag, and this is the one that, one of the ones that would have got picked out. Now, let me tell you, these things look simple, but they're not. Poppet onesies are very complicated, okay? They're very complex, and they're very difficult to get on, particularly when you don't really know what you're doing. And so my baby, Jessica, is in nappy, on the bed, and the midwives turn to me, you turn to get her dressed, and they walk out of the room, and I'm like, okay, great, this is going to be fine. Helen is in the next door room, and I lay the onesie out, and I start to put Jessica into the onesie, but I'm so worried I'm going to break her because she's so small, and I didn't realize that babies actually are quite robust. I was so worried I was going to break her. I could barely get her arms in the holes. I could barely get her legs into the holes, and I'm taking so long over this. She just starts screaming, and she's crying, and Helen is in the next door room probably wondering what on earth is going on, and all I needed to do was put the onesie on. That's all I needed to do. I was so out of my depth. This morning, we find a few people who Jesus met who were totally out of their depth. They were really out of their depth. And we're going to dig into that in a minute. But before I do that, I want to give you the title of my sermon this morning, which is Destiny in the Deep. That's the title for my sermon this morning, Destiny in the Deep. Let's start right at the beginning. Because right at the beginning, the story, it gives us a really helpful thing to frame what I really, really want to try and communicate this morning. And let's set the scene just for a little moment. If you've got your Bible, please open it up. I'd love you to be in it if you could be. Chapter 5 of Luke, verse 1, says that Jesus was standing by the lake. Wonderful, thank you. Jesus was standing by the lake, and there's a whole load of people around him, and Jesus is sharing the word of God to them. Now, one thing that's true, and we've learned this already, we've seen this in chapter 4 already of Jesus, that people are beginning to notice that the words that Jesus speaks and the way in which he speaks them is totally different to anything they've ever heard before. The way that Jesus speaks is totally different. It sounds different. The words are different. Everything is different. Something's different about the way in which this man communicates. Everything's different. And so what I want to do, just for a moment, I'm going to come down to this side. And what I want you to do, if you could, the first few rows, and you guys, could you just stand up for me? The rest of you, you can sit or stand. I don't really mind. Yeah, all the way up. Could you just stand for me? That's it. Now, my translation of the Bible says that, stay standing just for a minute. My translation of the Bible says that the people were crowding around Jesus. They were crowding around him. Now, that's an okay translation, but it doesn't give the intensity to what it actually means. It's not intense enough for what it means. Now, what it really meant was, now, I have showered this morning, so it's okay. What I want you to do, if you can, can you just close in towards me? Just close in towards me. Okay, wonderful. So you're so good. Thank you. What this actually meant, the intensity of what the Bible really means was that they were pressing in towards Jesus. That's what, yeah, you get closer if you want. I smell okay. They were pressing in towards him. Thank you, you can sit down. They were pressing in. They were pressing in so much so that the implication of that pressing in is that they were driving him towards the edge of the lake. That's the implication. They were driving him towards the edge of the lake. Can I encourage us right at the beginning this morning to prioritize pressing in towards the voice of Jesus? Now, you have to remember that Jesus didn't have a microphone. He wasn't speaking through a great big PA system. People were desperate to hear what he had to say. They literally were just pressing in on him, desperate to hear him. Can I encourage us right at the beginning this morning, let's press in towards the voice of Jesus, full of grace, full of authority, full of power, as chapter 4 does mention, I think. But pressing into the voice of Jesus gets interesting. It can get really interesting. Because when you get to the end of this story, in verse 11, what you come to realize is that this incredible miracle, this catch of fish, so amazing that it completely astonished them. When we get to the end, what we realize is that this is kind of like a bit like an amazing, extravagant visual aid that Jesus displays before these guys, because he's pointing towards something else. It's like it's an amazing visual aid that's designed to point towards the destiny of these three people. It's designed to point towards their destiny. How do we know that's true? Well, right at the end of the story, Simon Peter falls at Jesus' feet. He's amazed at what's happened. And Jesus says to him, what you've just seen happen with fish is going to happen with people. What you've just seen happen with fish is going to happen with people. And it does happen a few years later down the road. It's exactly what happens. Jesus is pointing towards the destiny of these people. So Jesus, verse 4, Jesus finished speaking. He finished speaking. He sat on a boat. He's been driven towards the edge of the lake. And he turns to Simon Peter and he tells him to put his boat out into what? Into what? Into deep water. He's sitting on the boat. He's finished his teaching. And he says to Simon Peter, now put your boat out into the deep water. I want you to hold on to one thing this morning, if you can. Just right now, just hold on to this thought. Sometimes when you find yourself in deep water, don't assume that you always need to get out of it. When you find yourself in deep water, don't always assume you need to get out of it, because sometimes Jesus has called you there. Sometimes Jesus has called you there. And it was in this particular deep water that Jesus would point towards the destiny of some of the people that would become his closest friends. Sometimes destiny is found in the deepest places, in the deep water. And for me this morning, this deep water represents two main things. It does point towards this idea of deep water of destiny, which I think points towards that invitation that Jesus gives us towards a deeper encounter, a deeper relationship with him. A deeper relationship with him. That's the first thing. But the second thing it represents, I think, is the deep waters of life that we sometimes find ourselves in that actually aren't anything to do with the fact that Jesus called us there. It's just the stuff that's going on in our life. And it's not the stuff that Jesus called us to, but it is the stuff that he wants to be with us in. And for some of us, some of us will find ourselves in both places this morning. Some of us will find ourselves in one. And some of you will find yourself in a place where the life experience you have right now is you feel like you're in deep water. And this morning is an opportunity for you to invite Jesus into the deep water with you. So what do we see happening in this deep water? I'm going to share just a few observations with you this morning of what I begin to see happening in this deep water. Some of this, I believe, is for us this morning. The first one is an interesting two words, break and sink, breaking and sinking. Because as the fish start to come in, verse 6, when they had put the nets down, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Verse 7, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. The nets, it's really interesting. I find it really interesting that in the middle of this miracle, this amazing moment, that they would experience something of a breaking and a sinking. In the middle of the miracle, there's a breaking and a sinking. I also find it interesting and really hopeful that what it doesn't say is that the nets completely broke and the boats completely sunk. The nets began to break and the boats began to sink. Why is this even important? Well, sometimes I think we find ourselves in deep water. Sometimes I think we assume that because we're in deep water, we need to get out of the deep water. Sometimes I think we feel we're out of our depth, and it's way too easy to spend all our energy just desperately trying to climb out of the water, desperately trying to get out of the water. But sometimes, as I said earlier, Jesus has called you there. Now, not only is it easy to try and spend all your energy trying to get out of the deep water, it's also easy to disregard what happens when you're there. It's easy just to disregard what begins to happen in the deep water. Because what was happening in this deep water was, yes, they were in the middle of a miracle. It was incredible. An unbelievable amount of fish. Miraculous. They were in the middle of the miracle, and yet they still experienced a breaking and a sinking. And sometimes, in the deep water of destiny, we can find elements of brokenness, and we can find elements of things that feel completely overwhelming. We can feel like we're sinking. And because those feelings feel so negative most of the time, and because we live in a world that disregards those feelings or what doesn't want us to feel those feelings, so we just learn just to kick him away, kick him down the curb. Actually here, there was a breaking and a sinking in the middle of the miracle. And Jesus was pointing towards destiny. Please, if you find yourself in deep water this morning, don't necessarily disregard the feelings of brokenness and the feelings of being overwhelmed. For some of us, it's about learning to embrace the shaping and the molding of Jesus in the deep water. For some of us, Jesus wants to do something in the midst of our brokenness. And he wants to do something in the midst of you feeling overwhelmed and feeling like you're sinking. Jesus wants to do something. He's pointing towards something else as well. So can I encourage you this morning, in the deep waters of destiny, I want to encourage you not to allow these elements of brokenness to take you out of the water. Remember where we started this morning, pressing in towards the voice of Jesus. Pressing in. There's this other amazing time, isn't there, where Peter finds himself on the water. And Jesus is walking out towards him. And Jesus invites him out and he gets onto the water and begins to walk. And then what happens? He begins to what? He begins to sink. He begins to sink. There's another moment in Peter's story where he feels that sinking feeling. If I was to give him this message a different title, it would have been that sinking feeling. That sinking feeling. So in these deep waters of destiny, number one, first observation, there's a breaking and a sinking in the midst of the miracle. Sometimes there's a feeling of brokenness and a feeling of being overwhelmed in the waters that Jesus calls us to. Second thing, sometimes in the deep water, we need to reach out for help. Now, I know that sounds very, very simple this morning, and I'm glad it does. Because sometimes we don't take hold of even the simple things. Now, I don't know about you. I was going to ask you a question this morning and ask you to respond. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to say, actually, I wonder how many people in the room this morning have had a pretty tricky 3 or 4 weeks. My sense is that there's a whole bunch of people here this morning who've had a fairly tough 3 or 4 weeks, particularly. I know that's been true for us. And sometimes we walk into church and we just don't really know what's going on with anyone else. And we don't realize that the people around us are also going through the deep water. And things are churning up and it's not easy. And we just sit and we go through it all and it's fine. And we walk out, but we go back out into the deep water and we feel alone in it. And what happens in this deep water? What happens in this deep water? Well, We see it in verse 6 and 7. When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. To come and help them. I don't know what you face in your life. I don't know what the deep waters are in your life right now. But I do know one thing, and I know that often the deep waters require help. They require help. They require us to reach out and ask for help. And so if you find yourself here this morning sitting alone in the deep water, can I encourage you to ask for help? For some of you, that's asking help from other people because you find that particularly difficult. For others of you, it's actually asking help of Jesus in the deep water because you find that particularly difficult. Actually, inviting Jesus into your deep water is really tricky for you. Remember that point in which Peter's sinking as he's walking on the water and he starts to sink. What does he do as he begins to sink? Can you remember? He cries out. What does he cry out? Yeah, Janet. Lord, save me. Like, Jesus, help. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And the Bible says, and I know this is tricky because we have varied experience of this, but the Bible says that immediately Jesus reaches his hand out and he pulls him up. Immediately, Jesus reaches his hand down and pulls him up. Immediately. Now, I know for some of us in the room this morning, that word immediately is gonna raise some troublesome things because our experience of faith and life with Jesus is that it doesn't always feel like immediately is a word in his vocabulary. For some of us, we've been going through some stuff and it feels like a long time and the immediacy of Jesus doesn't feel very real. I'm really sorry about that. I don't know. I don't understand it sometimes. I don't get it. But let me tell you that Jesus specializes in rescue. He specializes in rescue. And even if you feel like you're sinking, you're not sunk yet. Even if you feel like you're sinking, you're not sunk yet. So number one observation, in the deep waters of destiny, sometimes there's a feeling of breaking. Sometimes there's a feeling of sinking and being overwhelmed. Sometimes in the deep water, that can represent all kinds of different things in our life. We really, really need to learn to cry out for help. For some of us, that's people. And for others of us, that's Jesus. And number three, we need to learn to relax and let go. You know, when it says that they let down their nets in verse 5, it literally, what that means is that to let down their nets, it literally means that they let go. They let go. You could also translate that word, interestingly, as relax. They let go. They kind of relaxed and let go of the nets. You know, I believe this morning that our ability to let go absolutely correlates with our ability to access the deep places. Our ability to let go correlates with our ability to access the deep places with Jesus. How does this story speak into that? Well, I guess the first thing that they needed to do was to actually respond to Jesus' initial command to put out into the deep water. Jesus says in verse 4, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And I really love the way Peter responds. It's a wonderfully external process, which is what I often love about Peter. It's a wonderfully external thing. What does he say in response? Well, I think because he initially like holds on, doesn't he? He holds on just for a moment. He just holds on just for a moment. He's holding on to his knowledge. He's holding on to his experience of what just happened. He's also holding on to his, probably in his perception, his better professional judgment. He's holding on just for a moment. He holds on. What does he say? Well, in verse 6, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. Jesus, we've already been out. Jesus, we've been there. We've done it. We worked hard. We know what we're doing. We tried it and it didn't work. Jesus, it didn't work. It didn't work. Just holding on for a moment. Also, Jesus, if you really understood what fishermen really did, you'd understand that fishing at the night time was the best time to fish, and we just did that. So we tried our best, and it didn't work. Nothing happened. He's holding on just for a moment. And then he says, and I don't know how you interpret reading this in terms of the way you feel like he said it. I feel like he went big on the first sentence and he's like, well, because you say so, I'll do it. But because you say so, Jesus, I'll do it. Because you say so, we'll let down the nets. Sometimes pressing into the words of Jesus, which is where we started, sometimes pressing into the words of Jesus require us to relax and let go. To relax and to let go. If they hadn't let down the nets, because the second thing they had to do was to actually let go of the nets, to let down the nets. They had to go out to the deep water, and then they secondly had to let go of the nets. If they hadn't have let down the nets, the fish would never have come in. What do you think the nets are in your life? What do you think these nets represent in your life? Maybe these nets are your reputation. Maybe these nets are perceived success or productivity or efficiency. Maybe these nets represent a particular fear or a particular relationship that you have, or maybe it's finance that you worry about. Maybe these nets represent a sense of independence in your life and you struggle just to invite people in. I don't know what these nets represent for you, but this story tells us that if the friends were to experience the miracle, they had to let go of the nets. They had to let go. Now, the funny thing about this moment, I find, is that as the fish came in, Jesus just could have stopped at that point, couldn't he? The fish all came in, and they're experienced fishermen. So they understand what a catch of fish feels like. I mean, they're amazed at what they can feel in the nets. They can feel the nets breaking. Jesus could have stopped at that point. Kind of point proven, right? Except it wasn't quite all that Jesus wanted to do, because I believe that they needed to experience the fullness of what he wanted to do in this moment, which was partly the brokenness. It was partly our boats are sinking, what are we going to do? It was partly the astonishment of what they could see in front of them when the fish. Do you ever wonder what happened to the fish? So many things that they needed to experience in that moment. Jesus was pointing towards destiny. But I believe this morning he's also saying that there's an invitation to come deeper with him. There's an invitation to go to deeper places with Jesus, to the deep waters. And navigating the deep waters are not always easy. They're not always easy to navigate. They can be scary places, particularly if you feel like you're more alone in something. So these deep waters that Jesus calls us to, for some of us, it is about the fact that we're trying to get out of the water when Jesus has called us there. For some of us, we're experiencing a sense of brokenness and a sense of being overwhelmed in that water, and we're trying to get out, but actually Jesus has called you there and he wants to speak to you in that place. For some of us, we need to cry out for help. in the deep water. Because life feels overwhelming. What you're experiencing in the deep places is hard, and it's time for help. Jesus specializes in rescue, and if you feel like you're sinking, you're not sunk yet. And for some of us, it's about learning to relax and to let go. Letting go. What are you holding on to today? What is in the way of you going to a deeper place with Jesus this morning? I believe that this morning we're going to respond together now. We've got a bunch of time to do that, and that's intentional. In a second, what I'm going to do is invite us to respond, and I'm going to ask us to do that in a particular way initially. As I've been praying about this morning, my sense was that there was Jesus was extending that invitation to come to deep places with him. And that in this context now, there was just going to be an opportunity for us just to move and to find space. Now, there's a few places that we can do that in the room. There's some space at the back. There's some space at the sides. There's some space at the front and over here as well. And it's just it's a chance for you to respond and to say, actually, Jesus, yeah, I accept your invitation this morning. It's not a magic thing, but it is a moment for you to mark it in your life and go, actually, yeah, I resonate with that. Jesus, I want to respond to your invitation this morning. And so in a moment, I'm going to ask us to do that as the worship team come back. But before we do that, I want you just to pause for a moment. Just for a moment. I want you just to reflect on whatever you think God might be saying to you in this moment. Okay? I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes to do that. And then I'm going to invite the worship team to come. We're going to stand, and I'll guide us through just this next little bit of ministry and response together. Okay? All right, just take a couple of minutes.